Okay. Parable of the Strong Man, part 2. Let's do a quick review and let me open up my screen to wherever I think my notes were. Yeah. We got through 25. So just a little bit. I'm going to do a quick review, very quick review. And you can see the scripture there that we'll be working from. There's like 6 points that I want us to kind of get and understand and review. All right. Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a... Oh, I want you to see this. I don't know if I went over this last week. One possessed of a... 3 things here. A devil, blind, and dumb. And he healed them, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. All right. Couple things as a review I want you to look at. Do you see the order of the miracle as it is implied in verse 22?
Well, the demon had to get rid of the devil first.
Yes, amen. So, yeah, we might finish this in just 2 parts. Yes, the devil had to come out first. And then he deals with the blind, and then he deals with the dumb. I noticed that this morning. I thought this was very interesting. Why deal with the devil first?
Because you got to get cleansed before you get healed.
You got to get cleansed. You deal with the root problem first. Why do you think, and again, I might be taking some liberty here, why might it be important, if I am taking some liberties, that he deal with the blind before he deal with the dumb?
Because you gotta know who you're talking to.
He wanted him to okay. see you.
Yes, it's important that we see God and we see the Spirit at work before we start opening our mouth. So he heals them in a... Yeah, I know. So he heals them in a particular order. First you get to the root and you take care of the devil. Then you make sure that you open your eyes so that you can see God at work. And then you can know how to eloquently speak, all right, to share the testimony that you just saw. I just thought that was just kind of neat. So that's just, yeah, I don't think we did that last week. Yeah, all right. Well, somebody got blessed. I got 2 strange looks, a head nod, and 3 smiles. So,
well, the point is, he could already hear, just so we could hear, but we couldn't see Jesus.
Yes. No, he could hear. There's nothing wrong with his ears.
Yeah, he could hear. Yeah. He couldn't speak.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
As we could hear.
Yes.
But we still couldn't see Jesus.
Which is, again, you got to hear the word and see the hope that Christ has, and then you can speak to that. But you got to take care of that root first. All right, here we go.
Well, he experienced him too by the devil coming out.
Well, yes, sir. Yes. All right.
God
hold on to that.
Nothing by accident.
No, there's everything's planned. There's a sequence.
Precise.
Yes. All right. Now, let's keep going. The other point that I saw is it's important. Somebody mentioned this last week. I didn't come up with this my own. God's perspective versus the world perspective. When you see things the way that God sees them, all right, you won't miss what God is trying to do. So whatever your situation, whatever you're going through, whatever you had to go through, all right, you can look at it from the world perspective, but you need to look at it from God's perspective. When you see it from God's perspective, you'll see hope. If you see it from the world's perspective, it might not look so good. All right? That makes sense? The reason I say that is we see that the people had one perspective of the miracle and what was happening, and the Pharisees had another perspective of what was happening. And everything that we go through...
Sorry.
Go ahead, Sandra. What's that?
Like the prince of devils would cast out a devil.
Yeah, well, that's going to get to our next point here. But yeah, no, you're good. So make sure you look at it from God's perspective. All right. The third thing, the Pharisees, they look at it from a worldly perspective, and then they start talking about Jesus. All right. This fellow. Third point. Haters be hating. All right. So don't be discouraged because they're out there. All right. Let's go to the next one. Verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. If Jesus knew their thoughts, then we ought to be able to understand the thoughts of others through the Holy Spirit. That's called discernment. And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So, he's using... Oh, let me go a little further. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. Here we go, question mark. How shall then his kingdom stand? And so the fourth point I want to bring out is make sure you are skilled and know how to ask logical questions. He uses this natural example, this logic, to give them a question. All right. To get them, to convict them, to get them to understand the root thing. How does this work? Somebody, I was sharing this with inmates at the prison today, and I said, do you understand what I'm talking about? And I've been teaching this for a while, and somebody said, don't know, give us an example. I'm like, okay, let me give you an example. So, Saturday morning, yesterday, that's the only day I get to sleep late. And, you know, I'm sleeping late, I'm trying to sleep late, and, you know, it's a wonderful day. I plan on getting on my motorcycle and just riding until my butt's sore, you know, because it's just a beautiful day. I want to rest up or whatever. I stayed up too late last night watching MeTV. And so, you know, here we go. I'm resting. All of a sudden, my phone starts pinging off the thing or whatever. It's my daughter over in Korea, and she's talking about my grandson. Said the boy's having fits, you know. He wants to stay over somebody's house, doesn't want her to know whose house he's staying over, doesn't want her to, you know, drop him off. He wants to catch the bus back, got mad because he can't stay over there as late as he wants to stay over there. She says she's having a fit. My initial reaction as Papa is, I'm going to have a fit too. I'm going to fit these 10 knuckles upside his head. You know, because I just don't have that kind of patience or whatever. And then she starts, you know, going in. I'm like, oh my God, can I just get to sleep? But she's a priority. I got to listen to all this stuff, you know. And so she's pinging me back and forth. And she says, and he said that I embarrass him. And I'm an embarrassment or whatever. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, it could just.
How old is he?
Oh, like 13? It's. I'm like, well, first off, it might not be about you. It just might be a teenager who wants to feel independent and blah, blah, blah. But she's heartbroken because her child, her only child, just said that, you know, you embarrass me, Mom, and I don't need you picking me up and blah, blah, blah. And he's having this fit. And she's stuck on what he said about her. And that brings me to my other point. Not only do you need to know how to ask logical questions, but there is no need to defend yourself.
When you know the truth.
Exactly, when you know the truth. Jesus does not defend himself when they call him this fellow. When they disrespect him and don't acknowledge him as the Christ, and they call him that fellow or whatever, a buster, he does not defend himself and his personage, as Sandra just said. He knows who he is. That's not the issue. If he starts to defend himself, it deflects and detracts from the true problem that needs to be discussed, the root, and that is they just ascribe the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. So rather than defend himself, he gets to the root of the problem. And I'm thinking, this lesson is fresh in my mind, and I'm thinking, what do I need to tell my daughter? I'm like, don't worry about trying to defend yourself or trying to figure out what, because I had all kinds of defense. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, well, tell him who pays the bills up in there. Tell him that you're the one to buy. See if the people that he spent the night with are going to buy his clothes or whatever and going to feed him or whatever. You know, he's up there living up there for free and going to sit there and ask him, you know, come get yeah, if I want to get a ticket to go over to Korea, I'll bust him upside his little head. But I'm still Papa. I'm still just. You know, I'm not the only one in here that wants to. Anyway, in fact, some of you want to go over there with me. Just hold them down. But what I told her was, don't worry about defense. It's a smokescreen. It's a distraction. Come up with the righteous questions. He's supposed to be a Christian. He just got saved. Ask him the right questions. How does your behavior and your feelings line up with the Word of God? How is God pleased by your feelings and reactions and how you respond? How does God get glory from that? What's the motivation behind your feelings? Is it your selfishness or is it God? Would you be happy to tell your, would you stand before your papa and say, your daughter embarrasses me? God forbid. Find the right questions and have peace.
Right.
Make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
I wish I knew this before. Not that I wouldn't knock out my kids anyway, but I wish I might have handled things a little differently. All right. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. And the last point of review is don't fall for misinformation. The Pharisees are putting out misinformation. How can I tell whether it's misinformation? Line it up with the steps. If it's fear, if it's pride, if there's no humility, if the information does not lead to the glory of God, be careful. Be careful.
One other point I brought up last week, which is maybe better than before.
Oh, yes. I thought I wrote that down somewhere. All right.
Well, that's just the individual
yeah.
part of this.
Because there's an individual part that we need to discuss now.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. New stuff. Now, how you respond to this will dictate whether this is part two is the end or whether we do a part three. So if Sandra does not get this today, then Davy, it is Sandra's fault.
Don't blame on me.
Well, you better come up with the right answer. There we go. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, and let me give you a hint. Even on my notes are highlighted on the page here, where I'm going with this, I didn't get till this morning when I did my review. So
the
highlights might help a little bit, but yeah, all right. There might be some hints there. All right. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, here's what I think he's saying. He already debunked the rumor or misinformation that, hey, I did not cast these demons out by the power or influence of Satan. That's just ludicrous and crazy and illogical. So if you understand how illogical that is, that means the counter argument must be the truth, in that I am not casting out demons through the power of the devil or Beelzebub, but instead I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, the other God. And if that's the case, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Basically meaning is, if you see the Spirit of God at work, then that must mean that the kingdom has landed and is in front of you. Got it? So, question. Do we see around us evidence through the Spirit of the kingdom of God among us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, praise God. Is that, I mean, that, it's as simple as that.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this works real good when you're in the prison. I ask the inmates or whatever, I say, you know, you're incarcerated. Yeah. I mean, what does the world think about your incarceration? Well, you know, we're losers. We're getting what we deserve. Well, mistakes, you know, relationships busted, you know, never be able to be restored, you know, that we're wasting time, you know. Okay, got it. That's what the world thinks. But now, the world has that perspective of you. That may be true. But what is God's perspective? Oh, it's probably good that I'm here. My end does not end here. His best is in front of me. I'm closer to him because of what I'm going through. So now all of a sudden you got a God perspective of your uncomfortable situation. And the world says, sees no hope, and your God perspective says, this is where I actually needed you to be in the first place. And there's a difference there. And do you see the kingdom of God in this place? Oh, yeah. Because I never would have been in church were it not for this. So not only is the kingdom of God in the earth, but the kingdom of God, and there's going to be another parable where this is going to become really applicable, the kingdom of God, I'm experiencing, seeing it in my life. So you answered that very well. Now, let's see if we can continue to go through this verse easily. Now he gets to the parable. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Now, if you can get past this in about 5 minutes, we got a chance to finish this all in one day. All right. But let's look at the parable in the natural. All right. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Look at it in the natural. If you're, not that we ever would, but if you break into somebody's house and you start looting and looking for stuff in the house, what's the first thing that you better do when you get in the house?
Make sure the owner's tied up.
You better make sure that the owner, if you bust into my, God forbid, I pray every day that my house and my stuff is safe. But God forbid if I'm in the house and awake and I hear somebody that ain't supposed to be in there running around. All right? I've been saved a long time. But there is a sound, if you don't bind me up, there's a sound that you might hear. all up in there, all up in there. Right? And I may not be shooting to wound, though I have daydreamed on occasion that I only wounded somebody and gave them the gospel before they got finished off. I mean, because I want to make sure that everybody gets to heaven. I'm just saying, not that anybody want to do that, but, I mean, logically, you better make sure that the owner ain't around or is tied up, bound up, whatever. You know, I hope ain't nobody listening to this and going to be committing some kind of crazy crimes or whatever. You need to get saved if you are. But, you know, that's just common sense.
Well, like in verse 22, when he got rid of the devil first before he made him see.
Absolutely. So, that is the natural of the parable. Now, we take the natural allegory here of this parable, and now we want to find out spiritually what it means and how we can apply it. So, in order to do that, let's do something that, which I have rarely done before. I only recently have started doing this since we've been doing this. This parable study has really been a blessing to me. Let's pick this apart. And the way we want to pick this apart is, let's take all the elements of the parable and figure out based upon this story what they represent. Now, some commentaries are going to give you some different ideas here, but just what we see in this story and how Christ is describing it, let's take the elements of the parable and figure out what they represent, and then we will see how they should apply. So, I wrote down about four questions to cover these elements. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house, skipping some things, except he first bind the strong man? Who is the one that binds the strong man? I got four Holy Spirits, God, and Roger's shaking his head.
Well, here's the way I look at it. You can't enter into the kingdom of God and take away his stuff unless you discredit him first. Disable him is the way I see it.
Okay. Who is the one that does the disabling?
The Pharisees are trying to do it.
Taking his power.
They're trying to discredit.
Yes. In the natural,
I'm trying to take
the parable and seeing what that represents, what the parable represents in the natural, and then they will reveal the spiritual. So, we understand. Okay, let me go this way. One enter into a strong man's house. Who is the strong man represented in the parable?
To me, the strong man, as I sit here and think about it, the strong man represents my flesh. Versus the spirit.
So I got flesh, I got Satan. You're kind of right. I like that answer better. Roger was shaking his head.
Okay. I mean, you go back to the first, up here where the Pharisees are trying to discredit Jesus.
Okay.
And you can't discredit him unless you... They're trying to bind him with their words.
Okay. So, as I look at this and the way Christ is explaining this, all right, I see the strong man as, I'm with Susan, I see the strong man as being Satan.
Got to bind him up.
He's the one you have to bind up. Yes.
And
you can go with the Pharisees, but the Pharisees are being influenced by who?
Satan.
But Satan is the root. He's the strong man. All right. What represents the house in the story? The one who's possessed. So, as it relates to us, the house is probably representative of us. Let me put it to you this way. Before you started to follow Jesus the Christ, who was running your house?
Me.
You. Influenced by the Spirit or by Beelzebub? Which goes back, Lauren, to what you said by indicating that, it might be us. Yes, but the bottom line is, Christ was not running the house.
Yes.
Yourself, influenced by the enemy, you might not have known that you were being influenced by the enemy, but the enemy influencing you, the devil was controlling your house. Has the enemy taken anything from you that you used to have? Have you lost anything from him being in charge of the house? Thanks, Anthony. So what represents the spoil, or what represents the devil's goods?
Your health.
Oh, my goodness. Everything that he has taken and stolen and lied about and tricked you out of, he owns in your house.
Peace.
Joy. Got it. Hope. Yeah. It's.
Brain.
Yeah.
Mine.
Mine. Right there. So let me go back to the original. Who is the one who can enter in and bind the strong man if the strong man is the devil?
Jesus.
Jesus. So let me get this right again. We've got the only one who can bind the strong man is being Jesus. The strong man being the devil, the root of all of this stuff. The house that he occupies is us. And the goods that he has stolen are our goods that he now is under his control.
The devil, sin.
Now you got the parable, and now you got the pieces that are fitting into this. And now you can start to begin to see the spiritual application and how this parable can help us to be better. And this goes back to one of the inmates 2 weeks ago, which I still thought this was profound. When we started talking to him about being brand new, and he says, I understand what you're saying about being brand new, but this seems difficult to me. It's hard to do. And I'm like, yes, and I would think that 90% of Christians would agree with you that this is hard. It is hard to do. It is hard to let go. It is hard to be brand. It is hard. Why is it so hard? Because he's still a strong man. He's a strong influence. Question. Can we take the devil out and kick the devil out of the house ourselves, by ourselves? No. Everybody, no, you can't do it. I don't know why we keep trying to do it, but has anybody tried real hard to kick the devil out of the house and do right?
Yep.
Yes. How's that work when you're doing it in your own strength? It might work for a little while, but eventually, all right, so the same, here we go, the same logic that we used in the natural, and we said how crazy it is, all right, how crazy it is for somebody to come in and try to defeat who the owner of the house without binding up the owner. So we're trying to take our house back, get our joy back, get our peace back, get our stuff back. But we have not bound the strong man who owns it. Kind of crazy, right? So spiritually, what must we do first?
We
got to give our life to Jesus and not give our life to the enemy and not rely on self. All right. So instead of following our feelings and our emotions and ourself and the devil, which influences the self, we have to change our allegiance and follow Christ. And when we allow Christ, all right, to be in charge of the home, come on now, Susan and Jimmy ain't here. But if you got a pest problem, and you're not skilled at getting rid of pests, who do you call?
Jimmy.
You call Jimmy. Because that's what he does. And you can waste time and money trying to do it yourself. But I'm going to put it on Jimmy. And let Jimmy take care of it. In order for Jimmy to come into my house and take care of my pests and control the pests, what must I first do? No.
Oh,
no.
Nope.
I got to recognize I got a problem.
Oh, okay.
And I got a need. All right? Because I can recognize that I got a problem and a need, but I still won't call Jimmy because I'll still be out there trying to put bait traps out and do it on my own. But it's only when I get to the point where I'm like, man, this is a bigger issue than I can handle. Not only do I need help, I'm going to repent from trying to do this on my own, and I'm going to ask for help. And when Jimmy shows up, I'm going to be hopeful, and my hope returns because my faith is in Jimmy's ability to get to the root of the problem. Amen. And then I'll know how to talk, and then maybe I can get some stuff back that was lost. Maybe I can get up at night and turn on the light and not see if anything's moving. Talk about peace. You know, it's wintertime, but you know, I have a great peace. Because I know it's so cold that those little those little giant super roaches or whatever that come in from outside, I know that none of those things are running around the house in this weather.
Yes, the American
Yeah, well, he got a big answer. Hey, I come from the north. I come from the north originally, and we didn't grow up with any of those. Yeah, but those are worse because those are the German ones, and once you get a bunch of those, then you got infestation. You're done. Yeah.
You go to Hawaii and you got five.
Yeah. I'm telling you. So I have great peace. In the wintertime, when I wake up, nothing moves in the house. Nothing moves. I don't worry about anything. Yeah. All right. Now that we have determined how this lines up and what they represent, here's the question. How do I get Jesus to come into my house and take care of the strong man? Oh my goodness. Follow the steps. One, I got to humble myself and recognize that I need some help. Two, I got to repent. I got to change my mind about trying to do this on my own. And then I got to find me a word, and maybe your word is Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. It's a good place to start. My hope is in the Word. My hope is in Christ. And when I give Christ the authority to get to the root of my problem, what can I expect?
The Holy Spirit to come help
me. The Holy Spirit comes in to allow me to continue to surrender to Christ and trust Him. Now, after that happens, which is the first four steps, one, recognize I've got a need. Two, repent and stop trying to do this on my own. Give it to the Lord. Three, my hope is in Christ to bind the strong man. All right. Four, the Holy Spirit allows me to continue to open up every room of the house to let Him come in and do His cleansing work and keep my mind stayed on Christ because the other guy's still knocking at the door. And then five, I know how to speak and deal with others, and I can expect that I'll get my stuff back. It may not look exactly the way that I expected it to look, and it may not come out the way that I expected it to come out, but it will always come out better under His guidance. How can I say that we can expect our stuff to come back and we can get recovery in relationships and items and things and peace and joy? Look at the verse. Or else, how can one, Jesus, enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, get your stuff back, except he first binds the strong man? When Jesus binds the strong man, and he's demonstrating that in this parable, when he kicked the devil out of this man and made him better than he ever was before, part of the better than he was before that Roger pointed out is simply this. When the devil got kicked out and Jesus stepped in, he was better than he was before, and he was healed and made whole. We can also be made whole and get recovered and restored what the devil has taken from us, because look at that last part of the verse. Except he first bind the strong man, when Jesus takes care of the devil issue, and then he will spoil his house, meaning you get your stuff back.
Seek ye the kingdom first, and all shall be added unto you.
All the stuff you lost, add it back to you. All the things you thought weren't going to happen, add it back to you. Your joy, your peace, you get that back.
Measurably more than what you can ask for.
Yeah. And this is a condition that happened all the way back into Genesis. What did Adam and Eve have?
Everything.
Except for one tree. Everything. And they were going to get that tree. All they had to do was wait. They had everything. They had dominion. They had goods. They had power. They had a good relationship. Eve wasn't beefing on Adam, and they had a good thing, running around there, didn't have a care in the world, butt naked, just happy as can be.
God who came to walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day.
And they had fellowship with the Most High. They had such relation with them. God would come down and drink a mint cooler with them in the cool of the day. I mean, and just sit there and chill. Man, how awesome is that? That you got a relationship with God that you can sit up there and chill and not have a worry in the world. What happened?
The strong man showed up.
Yeah.
And instead of lining up, anybody ever try to do something the right way, but it wound up being the wrong way? Anybody ever wanted something good, man? And so she wanted knowledge. She wanted to be like God, but she went after it the wrong way. And when we allow the strong man to come in and take over, we follow the strong man, and he has control rather than God, what happens? You lose your stuff, kicked out the garden, you got to work for a living. You know, and then you got strife with your wife because all of a sudden Adam goes, well, if you hadn't given me her in the first place, this would never happen. I mean, it ain't just
labor pains.
There you go. I don't know that. Well, yeah, I do. Anyway, there you go. All right. We could have avoided all of that, but here's the neat thing: is God going to give us Eden back?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So. You did that pretty good. You didn't do it as quickly as you needed to. To get back.
But
before we get to verse 30, let me just pause and make sure we're okay. This helps me. I've never seen this parable like this before. I've known it. But now this further encourages me. All I got to do is just do steps 1 and 2. And by faith, follow 3. And God takes care of the rest of this for us. God takes care of it. Get to the root.
An Old Testament story that this reminds me of is when they came in, David was out fighting with his men, and they came in and plundered got their kids and their wives.
The Amalekites. The Amalekites came back. Yeah.
And God showed them exactly how to go get their stuff back.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And their people.
Yes. And they were successful. They had to go through some things. And one of the things, wonderful story, and one of the things that was part of the steps for them getting their stuff back was ministering, witnessing, and helping the salvation of another.
Well, the first thing David did was humble himself and ask God.
And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Yep.
And then some of them were too tired to go. And he said...
I think he went with 300.
And they stayed back with baggage.
Yep.
They got the same spoils that the ones that went
out. So wonderful story. You don't even have to be on the front lines. Part of it is just supporting those who are. And you get the same reward.
Amen.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to Uzbekistan or, I mean, I ain't been led to do that unless I see a burning bush in my backyard that's on fire and says, Chuck, I want you to go to Uzbekistan or whatever and Honduras and witness to somebody down there as a missionary. That's why I done took up all my bushes out of my yard. But anyway.
I'll tell you what the truckers are doing. We can't be out there in front, but we can sure be praying for them to be successful.
We can pray. We can support whatever we need to support or whatever. I'll put some dollars in a missionary's hand. Praise God. All right.
There it is.
Let me keep going. All right. Verse 30. And we will have a part 3 on this, but it will be a short one, I think. All right. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, I wonder why he would say that there. And what I can say is, as we get into this next series, and maybe we need to stop here before I get into it, because I'm not going to finish this, but let me just kind of open this up. He's changing... Now, and while we have the story of this parable, now he's going to get ready to describe the danger of the thinking of the Pharisees, because they are starting to get in danger of damnation or condemnation, let's put it that way. And so he has this statement, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And he's shooting a warning shot before he gets into the details to the Pharisees. If you look at Mark, somebody look at Mark 9:38 and Luke 9:50. And I didn't have my Bible with me here, but whoever, somebody take Mark 9:38 and somebody else take Luke 9:50 and just read those verses, and then we'll get ready to close this or whatever. I want to kind of outline.
Mark 38 says, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us."
Yeah. Next verse after that.
It says, "But Jesus said, do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me."
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, the disciples look at this one guy who's casting out demons. And in order, and now we see from this parable, in order to cast out demons, you have to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, which means the kingdom of heaven has come upon that person, that area, that place, that situation. And the disciples go, you got to stop doing that, because you don't follow us. So you must be wrong. Be careful with that. You don't go to Vaughn Forest. So you must be wrong. You ain't in Chuck's Bible study class. So your Bible study class must be off. I got to be careful with that, all right? Because, pardon me?
They put themselves in the place of Jesus.
And I know they meant well, but now all of a sudden they sound like crazy church folk. Anyway, let's keep going. All right, and who had...
Verse 40, let me read verse 40 real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, "For he who is not against us is for us." That's what you just go to.
Yes.
The churches. They're not against us. So the churches are not against us.
So if the Holy Spirit is operating, I didn't say they were perfect. And I didn't say it was next, but if they're producing fruit led by the Spirit, I'm going to be careful what I say about it.
Yeah. Because God has anointed them. They're not perfect, but he has anointed them.
Who had Luke 9:50?
Okay, do not stop him, Jesus said, for whoever is not against you is for you.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's it? Yeah, same thing. All right. So I found those scriptures from somewhere that connected this. Now let's go back to verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So if you have the Holy Spirit, whether you go to the same church, or whether you're in the same political party, whether you're in the same street, whatever, you know, if we're one in the Spirit and the kingdom is being except preached and Jesus is being witnessed to through the work of the Spirit, then it's all one nice thing. All right? Now, we're going to close on this.
Body.
Yes, one body, united. Even though we might come from, we might look different.
Different parts of the body.
Different parts.
This classroom represents that in so many ways. Even though we're all at the same church together.
Do you know... The inmate said the same thing. He said, "You know, Brother Chuck, look at this. We've got white, we've got black, we got Republican, Independent, Democratic, we got Hispanic, we got this, that, and the other, or whatever. And we just don't know if churches on the outside look like this."
That's what I love about this church.
Yeah.
I don't think I could go to a little old white Baptist church anymore.
Well, you can last for a little while. I don't know how long you'll be able to stay.
This is what heaven looks like. This is what heaven looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
And when my mother finds out she's got black grandchildren, she would have rolled over in her grave. I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right, we're going to close with this.
I don't think you can close
with that. Sorry. I just
love it. He, verse 30, we're going to stop at verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And I think that's a warning to the Pharisees. Now you got to ask yourself, who were the Pharisees back then?
They were the religious people.
They were the religious people. All right, let's go back to the parable. Who, Roger will like this. Let's go back to the parable. Who are the Pharisees today?
The religious.
All right, crazy church people. All right, so... we have to be, so while this is, I know we're erring on the side of good, all right? We're like the good people that see the work of Christ, and, you know, we're all for him, and he's in our life and stuff like that, and we don't always see ourselves on the other side. We got to make sure that we don't waltz over into bizarro world, all right? Because the Pharisees meant well. They were blind. They thought they were okay. It would make sense. The disciples made sense. If you ain't walking with us, then you must not be with us. And, you know, it makes sense. Is it a possibility that good Christians like you and I might look at something and go...
we gotta see ourselves from both perspectives.
So make sure... that you don't have some of that crazy virus that they got in you and I. And we will go into more detail, spiritually, the ramifications of not seeing the Pharisee that might be in us. Ooh. All right. That's the lesson for today.